Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church. Well, good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance and the understanding of your word, Father, so that we can grow thereby. Now, open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we might learn, Father, more of this, your word and the truth of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, we had gotten close to finishing up chapter 15, but we liked just a few verses, about six verses. We're going to cover them and then go on into chapter 16. We've been seeing where Paul and Barnabas have been kind of moving around and all, but then they had went to Antioch and they stayed there for a time or two. And now we're going to be picking up here with verse 36, and they're about to get on the move again. It says, "In some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." You want to go back now, check everything out, see how everything's coming along. But we're going to see one of our first disputes between two brothers. 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Felt not good to take him with them, who had departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And you know, as we had come earlier, there, we know that there was a time that John, whose surname was Mark, had left him on a trip and went his own way. Now, it's kind of caused a little rift between Barnabas and Paul. 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went to Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And we've come to the end now of chapter 15. We'll continue on now to 16, because you know, when these letters, we call them books, but when these letters were wrote to the church, they wasn't broke down into chapters and verses. They were strictly just letters wrote to the church. And them translating and putting them into the Bible, that's when they broke them down and made chapters and verses, which actually makes it a little easier to understand and see, and it lets you stop at different places and all, where as a letter from the very beginning of Acts 1 all the way through the book, be kind of hard to be stopping and starting and knowing where you had stopped and where you needed to start the next time. Now, here in chapter 16, we'll find here that Paul and Silas are joined by Timothy. Verse 1, then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now you see, Timothy is not a full-blooded Jew. He's got some Jew blood from his mother, but his dad was a Greek. Now, verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He's well thought of, Timothy is, which is good. Sometimes not for him, because just as we found out this morning, it don't matter who you are, if you are preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are one of his followers, in that day and time, you was in trouble, because they was coming against you. We've already seen where they've been stoned and everything else. Now, and they want them dead, and they have killed some. We find out now how far these men will go in order to get the gospel out. Verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Timothy hadn't been circumcised. But Paul's taking him now to get him circumcised. And really not for the religious part of it, but so he would be accepted by the Jews, because they knew his dad was a Greek. And that's what it was done for. Because if it had been done because of religious, then he would have to have kept the whole law, which now we are out from under the law and under grace, which is exactly what they were, because the Lord had already been crucified, risen, went to heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to be with us, and all had taken place. Now here in verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. 5, and so were the churches established in the faith. How were these churches established? Says they were established in the faith and increased in number daily. You see, it wasn't all of this division that has been caused in our day and time. And our churches have. They have really caused a lot of division among mankind. You have now, there should only be one church. That's all. And that's the Lord's church. We are all to belong to his church. But look what we have. We've got the Baptist and the Methodist. We've got the Catholic. And even within the Baptist church today, they have created such division that even they are divided among themselves. You've got the Southern Baptists. You've got the General Baptists. You've got the Calvary Baptists. You've got the Independent Fundamental Baptists. And they won't even agree and get along with each other. That's them walls that were told in the scripture not to build. But they don't call them walls. They call them denominations. But still, there's that division. But then you go on until today, there's the Unitarian and all so many. The Methodist Church has three different churches also. They just kept splitting off and splitting off. You know, back when the Lord had me preaching as an evangelist going from place to place, I had preached in a lot of different churches. I had been preaching in the Nazarene church when a division came up even there in the Nazarene, and that's where the Pentecostal came from. Most people don't know that. But your Pentecostal church came all of the Nazarene church. Then your Church of God came all of the Pentecostal. And then you had another movement come along, just called Full Gospel. which could mean a lot of things in a lot of different places. And none of them wanted to get along with each other. That's division. We're not supposed to have it. And it's not going to be accepted in the kingdom of God either. You're either going to make his church, or you're not going to make it. And that's what we need to be concerned about. Is sticking to the word of God as it is written, bringing it into our lives and living it. Not just hearing it, not just knowing it, but living it. Because without living it, it's not going to get you into heaven. Verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Perigai and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, Holy Spirit wouldn't even let them preach there. He stopped them for a reason. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysa, they essayed to go in to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Wouldn't let them. And they passing by Messiah came down to Taurus. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You see, God will always find a way to guide you where he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. Now, he's giving there a vision. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. See, that's what I want you to see. I want you to see the guiding hand of God. These things that we say we need answers and all for, they are all in his word. But in order for us to find them and to understand them, we have to be one of his. Because those that are of the world and of Satan cannot understand this word of God. It takes that Holy Spirit to give you and I the knowledge and the understanding of his word that we need in order for us to be able to do the work that he wants us to do. And it's not our will, it's his will. That's why he tells us to watch how we walk. And we need to be doing that. Now, verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Taurus, we came with a straight course to Samaraca, and the next day to Naphtali, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wrought to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither, or resorted there. Now, 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. In other words, she is to help them out in things they need and need done. You see, ladies, God has a job for you. But he is also has work out there that he has forbidden you to be. Now, here in 15, she was accepting what Paul was preaching and all, and she has become a believer now. In 15, and when she was baptized and for her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. In other words, she was inviting them into her home and to keep them, to give them a place to stay while they were there. She was being used of God. Now, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, witchcraft. We're dealing with witchcraft again. This is several times here in the book of Acts that soothsayings popped up on with us. But it's witchcraft. 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, the thing she is saying here is not wrong. The thing she's saying is right. But it's why she is saying it, because she's doing it to make a mockery and to get on their nerves. Now, 18. And this did she many days. See, it was day by day. She would just get on her bed where they went, repeating the same thing. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. That Spirit come out. Now, she no longer can make her masters any money with her witchcraft, because it's gone. And she'll be a changed woman. Is that going to make her masters happy? Oh, I don't think so. They're 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They brought them down before the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they're blaming everything now. They're getting ready to blame everything on them. And Paul and Silas here. In 21. and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They want that gain back that they had lost. And now they want to get rid of Paul and Saul's. 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. You think it was easy to preach in that day and time? Well, we've got that same thing coming to our land right here. For me to sit and teach like I am teaching will mean imprisonment and death right here in our land. And we're not that far away from it. Everybody likes to think we are, but we're not. But we need to stand just like they stood, right up to the last. And just hold on. 23. Well, we'll go to 24. The 23 is where they beat them, laid many stripes upon them, put them in jail. 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now they chained them in that inner prison here. The inner prison in those places were very small, dark rooms. And they were chained. But you see how much Paul and Silas was really, they were really afraid, weren't they? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. The other prisoners heard them. They was praying and singing praises to God. They were really worried, wasn't they? They were standing strong. 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. God does turn them all loose. Now, 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He thought they were gone. He hadn't seen them. He just seen the doors all open. He figured they had left. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." None one of them had left. But they were free. And you see, the reason he was willing to kill himself is in that day and time, if prisoners escaped on from a guard, the guard was taken, beaten, and killed. But now, then he called for a light, this guard, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, we got a guard getting ready to be saved. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. In other words, they was ministering to them, was telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and really the things they needed to do, which we know what they were telling them they needed to do, because we find that in the second chapter of Acts, in verse 238, the plan of salvation. Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the plan of salvation for the church. And that's for every church. But our churches today are not doing it. And most, the shame of it, besides not baptizing right, they're not even letting the people know what is taking place when they are baptized. So what good have they done? None. If you don't know what happened to you when you were baptized, it didn't do you any good. And it's all in God's Word. When we can take a look here at Acts, let's get it here. I'm going to give you something, I'll back it up. Acts chapter 2. In verse 38, this is Peter telling the guards of this day, or telling the people of this day, when he got through preaching one of the greatest messages ever preached on the day of Pentecost. They asked him, they said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes. That's also, when you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, that's when you're born again. You're not born again until you have that. You're a believer of, as long as you are walking the best you know how and doing everything you know to do, and you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in him, you're a believer. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you are born again. Now, sometimes that will all happen at once, but not very often. In fact, in all the years I've been in the ministry, I've only seen that happen one time. One time out of all the years. That all of it happened at one time. What a joy it was that day. Back then, I've seen a lot of changes made among people. And I had told you that about being baptized, what happens? that you should be told. You should never be baptized without knowing what has happened to you. Even if you're baptized in Jesus' name, they should always, you should understand what is taking place. Because if you don't, nothing does. You see, you have to know and believe for things to work. Now, in the 6th chapter of Romans, I'm going to hit this, even though it won't be too many days from now, we'll be getting into Romans. But here in verse 1, chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How did you get dead to sin? You see what I'm talking about? When you're not told these things, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. You're getting ready. When I baptize you, you are putting on his death. You're taking on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you became dead to sin. Therefore, we are buried with him. Are you buried with him? By baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, listen to this verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You put on his death and his resurrection by being baptized in Jesus' name. That's what happened to you. That is, if you knew. But when they don't read that to you and tell you what they're doing, I will not baptize anyone without first telling them what is going to take place. I tell them, when I lay you back in this water, I'm burying you with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I raise you up out of this water, I'm raising you up in his resurrection. That's what his word just told us. And if you don't know that's what's happened, then nothing has. It's done you no good. And you'll go away believing, like a lot of them are doing today, I've got it made. Oh, yes. I'm right. I'm right with God. And they go right on doing the same old sin over and over and over and over, which won't work. Not make heaven their home. We found out now that they had preached to the guards and all in his house. Now, and he took them that same night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. His guards, he's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoice, believing in God with all his house. What a change. But you see what he saw. He seen the power and the miracle work of Almighty God. Now he's believing. And we need this in our churches. And we're not seeing it. Now we have seen it in our ministry. We've had several healed in our ministry. Now, all of you may not have been there when it happened, but you heard about it. No. 35. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. Now, they plan on turning them loose anyway. They don't know they're already gone. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul. The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. No. See, Paul ain't done. But Paul said it to them. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. They had us put in here. They beat us. We hadn't been tried, and we wasn't condemned. And we're Roman citizens. Which was actually against their law. For them to do that. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Now they're also Jews, but they are Roman citizens. They came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of their city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they confronted them, comforted them, and departed. But they made them come and turn them loose themselves, not just what they wanted to do privately so people wouldn't know or hear about it. 17. It's another pretty long one. We're not going to get into that because time is almost up. So I'm not going to start that at all. We'll be getting into that till our next time to be in the New Testament. But you see, in going through the Bible the way we're going through it, we'll be changing tomorrow. We won't be in the New Testament. We'll be in the Old Testament. We'll be in Genesis. In fact, we'll be in Genesis 23. We finished 22. So we'll be in 23 in the morning. There's 20 verses to it.
What time you have it in the morning? 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. Also, we have finished the whole book, the reading of the whole book of Revelation.
Yeah, I knew that.
And I'll be doing something else on Wednesday for a week, and then we're going to be going back through Revelation again because so many has not heard it. That didn't get to hear it all. And that is a book we all need to do. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for that word, Father, and for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you praise. And we give you thanks for all that we have. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is here to give us the guidance and the help that we need so that we can do your work as you call upon us to do these things. Open our hearts and minds and keep them open, Father, to be receptive unto the things of thy kingdom and of thy word. And Father, for those that are sick in body, we are praying that they will accept that healing that is given to them by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your word tells us that by his stripes we are healed. Father, let us remember, even though we may not feel it right at the moment, at that time, stand on thy promise, because it will happen. But it will happen according to your will, your way, and your time. Because you know when the best time and when we can accept these things with the greatest of our heart. Now, Father, keep us through this night. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And let us rest. Bring us back together in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and back into your word, Father. Help us to be what you want each of us to be. And may the Holy Spirit work with us to do what you want us to do, to say what you want us to say, and to share thy word with all that we come in contact with. Use us greatly and in mighty ways, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.